Good afternoon. It's 72 degrees in Richland Center at 1208. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The identity of the man killed in a fatal tractor accident in Iowa County last weekend has been released. John Lee O'Flaherty, 71, of Janesville, was operating a tractor equipped with a mowing attachment on a steep hillside. During mowing operations, the tractor lost traction on the incline, sliding down the hill and overturning. O'Flaherty was pinned beneath the tractor. At approximately 12:30 Sunday afternoon, the Iowa County Sheriff's Office, along with the Highland Volunteer Fire Department, Cobb Volunteer Fire Department, and first responders and Highland EMS units, all arrived on scene and worked in coordination to render aid. Despite the efforts of responders, John Lee O'Flaherty was pronounced dead at the scene by the Iowa County Coroner's Office. The legislature's budget committee is scheduled to meet today. It's been nearly 2 weeks since the 16-member Joint Committee on Finance last met to work on the next two-year state budget. A scheduled meeting late last week was canceled as negotiations between Senate and Assembly Republicans broke down, with Senate leadership unhappy with the direction things were headed regarding spending. Now it's crunch time. With the fiscal year ending on Monday, failure to get a budget done could mean uncertainty for local governments and school districts' budget planning. New Marquette poll results show how Wisconsinites feel about some of the key issues in state budget negotiations. Savannah Tomei Olson focuses on the top two.
Republicans have stood firm that their top priority is a tax cut. The poll shows a majority of Wisconsinites support using at least some of the state's more than $4 billion surplus to lower taxes. Poll director Charles Franklin.
It's clear that there's a lot of support for a substantial tax cut.
Meanwhile, for Governor Tony Evers and Democrats, one of their top priorities is funding for K-12 schools. However, tax cuts have grown to be more of a priority among Wisconsinites.
Are you more concerned with reducing property taxes or more concerned with increasing funding for public schools? 57% say they're more concerned with property taxes, 43% more concerned with funding schools. This has undergone a huge change over time.
The problem here is that when state lawmakers give less taxpayer money to schools, districts are proposing referendums just to stay afloat. So then residents often end up paying higher taxes anyway. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Department of Public Instruction launches a new public school finance reporting portal. The DPI says the public will be able to download, sort, search, and access information through the portal at no cost. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley says that will increase fiscal transparency and help Wisconsinites understand how their local districts and schools operate financially. Through the portal, you can access data on school district referenda, tax levies, and the status of required education agency reports. You can access the portal by visiting the DPI website. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 24. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to the change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021. A pair of bills aimed at increasing the amount of nuclear energy production in Wisconsin have passed in the state legislature. One of the bills directs the state to conduct a nuclear siting study in an effort to identify potential locations for nuclear power generation. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission has estimated the study will require at least $1 million of funding to complete. The other bill would establish a temporary board to plan and hold a nuclear power summit in Madison. Both bills now head to Governor Tony Evers for consideration. A group of lawyers helping people facing deportation wants to grow amid increased deportations from the Trump administration. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Grant Sovereign is the president of the board of the Community Immigration Law Center. Essentially, the people there work like public defenders for folks who need immigration lawyers. Technically, immigration offenses are civil, not criminal.
We all know what a public defender is. If you can't afford one, you certainly shouldn't go to jail simply because you can't afford a lawyer. But that's exactly what happens in the immigration context, is you can sit in detention, which is a jail, for 6 months, a year, 18 months.
They've been busy since the Trump administration ramped up efforts to deport people and deport them quickly. The only ICE detention facility in Wisconsin is in Juneau.
All of their 200 beds seem to be full with immigrants these days.
Silk exists to make sure everyone gets due process.
We have rules. We all want the rules to apply to everybody, but we all want those rules to apply evenly, and not just because you can afford a lawyer, you can't afford a lawyer, or there aren't enough available. In Wisconsin, there's probably maybe 10 or 15 lawyers who know how to do deportation defense because it hasn't been an issue before.
Now, Silk wants to expand and be able to help more people.
We would like to be a public defender service for the whole state. We have 6 lawyers now who spend weekends and nights trying to help people.
The Community Immigration Law Center is holding a fundraiser with a matching grant from the Madison Community Foundation. The goal is to raise $100,000 in June. We'll have a link at civicmedia.us. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is offering free RFID identification tags for cattle and bison this summer. According to a press release, the DATCAP has a limited supply of the RFID tags and expects them to be available until around late September. The tags were supplied by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They can be ordered in multiples of 1,000, and there is a 5,000 tag limit. The agency is also offering separate orange button tags for veterinarians for identification when vaccinating against brucellosis. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to keep an eye out and scout for new areas that could accommodate future hunting opportunities while they're out and about this summer. The agency tracks available hunting land on their Public Access Lands tool, which residents can use to navigate in the field during hunting seasons. There are 6 million acres of publicly accessible lands in the state, and agency officials say some of the best hunting grounds could be further into forest and wildlife areas than most hunters typically venture. BBB is cautioning travelers about USPassportandVisa.org, a website falsely claiming to facilitate international travel processes. Despite a disclaimer stating it is not affiliated with any government agency, many consumers have been misled into believing they are on an official site for passport and visa applications or renewals. Since the website's launch in January of this year, BBB Scam Tracker has received 78 reports detailing fraudulent activities associated with this website. Travelers have reported paying approximately $88, expecting official documents, only to receive a simple PDF application that can be filled out for free on the U.S. Department of State website. Subsequently, victims are left to complete the actual application process, with the U.S. Department of State incurring additional costs. BBB recommends the following for those looking to renew their passport. Verify passport renewal procedures directly through the U.S. government's official channels. Allow ample processing time. Passport renewals can vary in processing times. Plan ahead and consult the U.S. Department of State for current processing estimates to prevent rushing into potentially fraudulent quick fix options. Verify website URLs. Official government websites end in .gov. Ensure websites are secure before entering personal information. Avoid third-party services. Be cautious of imposter websites and protect yourself from potential scams. And report scams by reporting scams to BBB Scam Tracker. A Madison man convicted of a 2016 home invasion and a fatal 2021 shooting is headed to prison. 36-year-old Shabrice Link was sentenced in Dane County Court Thursday to 15 years in prison for the shooting and 5 years for the home invasion. Link and another man were accused of entering a West Side home in 2016 and duct taping a victim in front of his family. Police say Link also shot and killed 24-year-old Eric Ranson outside a home in 2021. Link reached a plea deal in both cases, and consecutive sentences mean he'll serve 20 years in prison before being eligible for release. The University of Wisconsin-Madison has been named by Princeton Review as one of 209 best value colleges for 2025, a ranking that recognizes universities for their stellar academics, affordable cost, and strong career prospects for graduates. Princeton Review gave UW-Madison a return on investment rating of 91/99 based on alumni surveys covering starting and mid-career salaries and career social impact, as well as academic rating, financial aid rating, and college costs. Among public schools, UW was ranked number 17 for best value, number 7 for best financial aid, number 16 for schools making an impact, and number 14 for best alumni networks. The financial aid ranking measures how much aid a school awards and how satisfied students are with the aid. The school's Making an Impact rating is based on student responses to questions about community service opportunities, student government, sustainability efforts, and on-campus student engagement. The 11th annual Gospel to Haiti benefit will be held tonight and tomorrow at the Richland County Fairgrounds. A traditional fresh southern Mississippi catfish fry and barbecue chicken dinner will be served tonight from 4 to 8. A drive-through option is available for those unable to stay. Cost of a meal is a free will donation. Tonight will also feature a flower auction, a mission presentation, and singing, as well as a bake sale. A benefit auction will be held tomorrow beginning at 9. The highlight of the auction is refurbished antique tractors. Darwin Hostetler is an organizer of the event.
We have a couple of really nice tractors. We have a Farmall M, just freshly restored this past winter, and a John Deere 630. That's a 59 model, and that's also a really, really nice. They're very nicely done. Mark Oberholzer, a man from our church that lives up by Hillsboro, does all the restorations. There's no shortcuts taken. Yep, they're good tractors.
Another item is a customized shed.
We have a 30 by 40 building that will be auctioned off. Whoever the high bidder is, he can pick his own colors. It's the material, the labor to build it. It's all he needs is a site ready to put it on. And everything else will be is what he'll be purchasing on Saturday.
Other items include lawn and garden tools, lawn furniture, household furniture, and much more. The bigger items will be auctioned off around noon, with the auction going until around 3. Food and refreshments will also be available Saturday.
We will have a Haitian cook that will actually be having some very authentic Haitian food that will be offered for lunch as well. Plus, we'll have our regular burgers and whatever else that they need. But there's a bake sale, there'll be fresh pies, donuts, bread, bars, cookies, you name it.
For more information on Gospel to Haiti and the benefit, go to gospeltohaiti.org or call 608-415-3474. The annual Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair will be held tomorrow from 9 until 5 and Sunday from 9 until 4 on Jefferson Street in downtown Spring Green. There will be around 200 artists in attendance showing and selling their work. The fair has grown since its inception. Diane Barenbrook is co-president of the Spring Green Art Fair Committee.
It started over a bridge game, I believe. A group of women wanted to come up with a family-friendly sort of way that they could promote Spring Green and came up with this art fair. It was small at first. I think it started in the park. And I don't know exactly the timeline for how many years it took, you know, before it got to the size that we're at now, but I don't think it was very long. And ever since 1969, the fair has been in existence, minus a couple years at the time of COVID.
Besides the arts and crafts on display, there will also be entertainment in the Post House Garden. Tomorrow, Don Greenwood will perform from 10 until 1, and Abby Spencer will play from 1:30 until 4:30. Sunday will feature Janet K. Johnson from 10 until noon and the Junkyard Kings from 12:30 until 3:30. There will also be local nonprofit service organizations serving food. The thousands that are expected to attend the fair can find parking spots within walking distance.
Just about any place you can find a spot to park that doesn't have a posted no parking sign, you can park at. We do provide handicap parking on the west end of the fair from Wood Street to approximately Baltimore, Cincinnati Street. There's handicap parking there. There's handicap parking on Worcester Street from Monroe partway down to where the fair starts on Jefferson Street. Any of the public parking lots, any side street, it's just wherever you can find a spot. No spot is too far. I mean, Spring Green's a small community and the fair spans a significant number of blocks on that main street. So wherever you park, you walk a couple blocks and you're into the fair.
Enjoy great art and entertainment at the annual Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair tomorrow from 9 until 5 and Sunday from 9 until 4 on Jefferson Street in downtown Spring Green. Proceeds raised are used to promote the arts in the River Valley area. Find more information online at springgreenartfair.com and on Facebook or Instagram. Thunderfest, Richland Center's all-day independence celebration, will be held in Crosscut Park tomorrow, beginning at 11. There will be a variety of entertainment, as in the past. Mick Cosgrove is an organizer of Thunderfest.
We'll have the stage just off of the diamond, and we'll have plenty of tents so that if we have sunlight, you can get out of the sun. And then we'll have the Kids Zone, which is sponsored again by the Richland Hospital and Clinics. And they'll have the some jump houses, the European bungee jump. And then we've got Meredith Ellsworth, who's been with us for a number of years with M&M Ponies. She's down by Monroe. She'll be back from 1 to 6, and they're bringing a small horse and a couple of different sized ponies. Between 1 and 3 o'clock, we've got a clown coming in. He makes balloon animals, does just an amazing job of entertaining. Our friend Ryan Martin Magic will be back, but he won't be there until about 4:45, which is usually about when he's finishing up. Throughout the day, we've got the dunk tank, which again is sponsored this year by the RC baseball team, and mice races, which this will be my first encounter with mice races. So those are going to start at 7. Parks Department, I believe, is going to again have their euchre tournament inside the senior center, so that'll be available for those who want to take advantage of that. So it's a full day. We should have something for everybody's interest. And then the music again starts at noon. The Kids Zone starts at 11. But we should have a great day in the park.
The day will end with fireworks.
The city does an amazing job. I think we've got one of the better fireworks in this, for sure, in this corner of the state. You know, they double up. One of the reasons we have Thunderfest early is that we can get about twice as much fireworks for the same money, because the fireworks companies, everybody wants them on the 4th of July, and they only can have so many personnel to light those. So we were given the option a few years ago, and the city took advantage of it, and we appreciate that they're getting a much, like a double fireworks. So it's a great fireworks show every year, and it's something that's one of the comments we get. That's amazing for a small town to have such an amazing fireworks. And so we're looking forward to those again, and they'll be taking place around 10 o'clock.
Admission to Crosscut Park in Richland Center for Thunderfest tomorrow is free. There is a cost for the Kids Zone. Visit the Thunderfest Facebook page for more information. A legendary Wisconsin Dells attraction is turning 80 years old. The Wisconsin State Journal reports the Dells Army Duck started in 1946 when Milwaukee native Melvin Flath brought two of the amphibious assault vehicles and brought them to the Dells. Since then, the Flath family has bought more than 150 of the vintage vehicles. The ducks tour the lower Dells and the Wisconsin River, letting visitors see the canyons carved by the river. A special celebration is set for the 4th of July, including a cookout and fireworks. The Wisconsin Technology Council is now accepting applications for the 2025 Wisconsin Innovation Awards. The event seeks to recognize innovative ideas from companies across the state with multiple categories of awards, including fields like manufacturing, technology, education, and agriculture. Interested companies can apply for the event themselves, or residents can nominate them for recognition. The application and the nomination process are available online and must be submitted by July 15th. The awards ceremony will be held in November.